Exciting things. We're growing up as a church. Yeah, batons being passed generationally. That's exciting. I do want to clarify one thing that, in case you misunderstood Pastor Phil and his announcer, I just want to clarify. He said there's booths outside, not booze outside. I mean, I saw some of you get kind of excited, but we'll talk anyway. Just want to clarify that. Anyway, all right. Well, this morning I am like so excited. You know that I'm a grandpa. I love to show pictures of my grandchildren in messages. But this morning I have a great honor to not just do some virtual picture, but I'm bringing them live. We're talking about they are live. They're here. They're here with us. They brought their dads with them even. Yeah, look at them. Oh my goodness gracious. Just so you didn't know, this is what you call treasure. This is treasure. And these guys are treasure too. This is treasure. Gold, silver, no, just anyway. You know, one thing that's kind of phenomenal is all of these humans right here all have birthdays within 4.5 weeks. Seriously. Nellie, how old did you just turn?
6.
Say it again.
6.
How does it feel to be 6?
Good.
Good. Oh, yeah, just to turn the mic on. All right. So Nellie just turned 6. This is Nellie. Her birthday's August 9th. Today, this afternoon, even though it's not her birthday, but Phoebe turns 1 on August 18th, which is Wednesday, but we're celebrating today. Can you say hi, Phoebe?
Hi, Phoebe.
See, no one can say hi, Phoebe. Yeah, very good. She actually said, hi, DB, but, you know, it's good. All right, so August 9th, August 18th. He's August 25th. That's a week later. He's a week later. He's a week later on September 1st. And then Gus was a 911 baby, right? And then Noah, bringing it up with September the 13th. Do you want to say something, Noah? Anyway, I just love them so much. 4.5 weeks, though. All I'm saying is that I think that the Weavers know how to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas really well. Anyway, that's all. Anyway. Yeah, you do the math. So one of the things that's really cool, though, some of you will get that tomorrow. But anyway, one of the things that's really, really cool is that Jesus lived this age, and this age, and this age, and this age, and then he went through the valley of the shadow of puberty, and then he turned to this age. Well, no, he never quite made it this age. Anyway, yeah, but in his resurrected state, you know, anyway. So, but as a dad, I just have to say that it is such a delight. You always want your children to surpass you. I came to college because I wanted to cook and own a chain of restaurants. Jake is a much better cook than I am. I'm a pastor now. I study the Word. I love the Bible. Joe knows the Bible better than I do. I go to him for advice. I call him up if I want clarification. I even went to him for marriage counseling yesterday. So, you know, it's all good. So, you know, Joe actually he got a Master's of Divinity, Master of Theology, getting a PhD in church history at Boston University, and just studying, just digging in and digging out treasure. And I'm just really proud of both of them. But speaking of passing batons and generational stuff, we're all growing up, and Gus is learning to drive a wagon. Oh, yeah. Can you take it home, Gus? All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming. Yeah. Thank you for indulging me. So, but we are talking about growing up today. We are talking about growing up, so that was appropriate. All right, let's go ahead and stand and read our text for today. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week we talked about get lost. This week it's grow up. You know, I told you last week I was working on my motivational message skills, and so hopefully you feel inspired by that. Get lost and grow up. All right, so growth here is obviously a theme in this scripture. And one of the things that's really helpful to me as I'm on this trek of growing up, still trying to grow up, they say growing up is hard to do. Well, or maybe that's something else. Anyway, but is that it's really helpful to have the big picture in mind and to know where we're headed, what we're growing into. So I'm going to show you this picture right here. And this is a big picture. So the first point I'm talking about is grow up, the big picture. So here it is. So I'll explain it. A lot of words there. But right now, we're living in this age. There is an age to come. This age is the now. The age to come is the not yet. Okay, so right now, because of the fall, before it says this age, there was creation. God created things in perfection. Then there was a fall. Because of that fall, we have things like evil and sin. But guess where our destiny is? Guess where we're headed? From evil and sin to love and justice. Because of the fall, we have death. But guess where we're headed? We're headed to life, and not just life, but eternal life. And because of the fall, we have slavery. But where we're headed is freedom from bondage and freedom from sin. Because of the fall, we have violence. But where we're headed is shalom, perfect peace and unity. And then because of the fall, we have cursing and curses and curse. But where we're headed is to blessing. It's important to know where we're headed. Otherwise, you can get really bogged down in all of those things that are the fruit of the fall and forget that we have another life in Christ right now, not just someday. And that life in Christ was provided by the cross. You see there, the cross. It says the word inaugurated. And what was inaugurated at that point was the end times, the day of the Lord began at the cross. And when you hear the scripture talking about end times, it's talking about from the cross to now to when he returns again. All of that are the end times. So are the end times coming? Well, the end times are here. We're in them. The day of the Lord is inaugurated, but it's not been consummated yet. It'll be consummated, and the end times will end when he returns. There will be a second coming. So we have the first coming at the cross. Well, he came as an infant, as we talked about. And then he will return, and that will be the day of the Lord, the final day of the Lord. The end times will be consummated, done. But in the meantime, we have this life that we're living now on earth. Oh, but guess what? It overlaps with heaven. And we'll talk about that. So we have this life on earth that overlaps with heaven. It's an already, not yet. It's a now and not yet kind of life that we live. So we are growing up. And growing up, basically, what it means is we're moving from the left there, evil, sin, death, slavery, violence, curse, to the right, to love, justice, eternal life, freedom, shalom, and blessing. We're going from the left to right. That's growing up. If we're growing up in Christ, and when we look at these scriptures further today, what we're talking about is that progress and that process from moving from all of that stuff that we hate to all that stuff that we love, but we struggle in the growth. It's called growing pains. But we grow up in him, and this is now the church age. What Jesus is doing is he's growing his church called the body of Christ. And that's you. If you're a follower of Christ, you are part of that body of Christ. Paul has a burden here. He has a burden that the Ephesians see this. He wants them to have revelation. Matter of fact, he uses that word in Ephesians 1:17 and Ephesians 3:3. He is praying in Ephesians 1:17 that Ephesians would have revelation and that they would actually see that chart. that they would see that they're living this citizenship of heaven life right now, and that they would see and have revelation of where they're headed. Guess what? Just to give context to all this, when Jesus comes back and when that day of the Lord happens and when we all enter heaven, guess what's going to happen? Heaven's actually going to come to earth. We all think we're going to go somewhere. In reality, biblically, heaven comes down to earth. And that's why Jesus even tells us to pray. He instructs us to pray this into being. And in Matthew 6:10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to pray it down, but we're also supposed to live it down. That's why we need to grow up. That's why he's growing his body, because it's his body that carries that presence with it, with us individually and corporately, to a world that desperately needs it. They need the light to shine in darkness. And that's what these JCDs are going to be doing, right? They're going to be shining light on the campuses for Christ to show people there's another way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we're growing up. Guess what that word revelation means in Ephesians, the Greek word? It's apocalypse. We always think of apocalypse as this, like, you know, radical end times violence and all this stuff going on. Apocalypse, all it means is revelation. That's why the book of Revelation is called what it is. It's apocalypse. That's where we get apocalyptic imagery and all of that. But the idea is revelation. It's seeing God. Really what revelation is, book of Revelation, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And guess what Jesus Christ has? He has a head and he has a body. And that body is growing and that body is you. And we're all growing up together into him. So that's the big picture. And we're going from creation and perfection. There was a fall, but now there's a restoration. And it's not just back to what the Garden of Eden was like. It's actually a whole new creation. And it's going to be exciting. There are a lot more people than just Adam and Eve going to be there. It'll be a lot of people. It's new creation. And it says that creation out there is yearning for that day. Are we? Are we yearning for that day? This is an all-consuming thing for us. And that's really what I'm trying to impart this morning. Our destiny is heaven. And not just heaven, it's heaven on earth. It's something that we are living right now. In Ephesians 1:18, just after Paul prays for that revelation, that the Ephesians would have revelation or apocalypse, it says that it's the hope to which we are called. We're living and growing in an environment of hope. And that growth process is an environment of hope that we all get to grow in. It's our glorious inheritance in Christ. So now we have that inheritance in part, but we will have it later in fullness. Understanding this, seriously, can change everything, but also can give us great hope. When you're discouraged, you can know that what you have right now isn't all there is. There's growth, right? There's a movement toward, but that is available to us now. All of those things, love, justice, eternal life, freedom, shalom, blessing is available right now to all of us. That's the life we're invited to live. So essentially, we grow up in order to bring heaven down to earth right now. That's what we get to do. And as I mentioned, we get to pray that into being and live that into being. In Ephesians 4, Paul is using body language. He's talking about us, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In Ephesians 2, in the same letter, Paul uses other language. He uses building language or temple language, building a building or temple for the same thing. We're talking about the same thing, the body of Christ and this temple that's talked about in Ephesians 2. Let's look at that Ephesians 2 scripture. Ephesians 2, 20 to 22 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You know, we had a prophecy this morning that talked about God moving in. Talked about moving in. He's moving into us. But, you know, you typically think about moving into a home, into a building. These metaphors are constantly being mixed in Scripture, and it's appropriate, actually. So this is a temple that's growing. We are growing together into a holy temple, which is God's dwelling place. God lives there. That's his address. And not just to us as individuals, but to what we represent collectively, which is the church, the body of Christ, and not just us here, but we're attached collectively to every other body of Christ throughout the world. And there's a unity of faith as we all are growing up into Christ. And we're all living in the hope of our glorious inheritance, and we're all doing it right now, bringing the message of hope to a world that needs it. So bodies grow, plants grow, here buildings grow. You know, in 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5, it talks about living stones. You know, we don't have a category for that in our language, a living stone. Really, how does that work? Well, in reality, that's what Jesus himself is, but that's what we are, and we're all a part of a body that's growing, and that body is a building, it's a temple. And in the Bible, whenever you hear about things like the temple in Jerusalem or Moses' tabernacle, all of that had to do with the presence of God. That's where the presence of God dwelt. At the cross, in the temple, the veil was rent. Meaning the veil was torn, the veil that separated the presence of God from everybody else. And now the presence of God was made accessible to everyone, not just the high priest once a year. And not just that, not just made available to everyone, but the Holy Spirit of God came in and dwelt his temple, which is you as followers of him, which is us collectively as the church. Don't just individualize it. We are that together. And we each have a part to play in the body of Christ, which is a living temple. And it's a growing temple, a place where God lives. Okay, so in the Bible, again, I just want to emphasize, the presence of God dwells in temples and tabernacles. We are now that temple of God, made possible by the cross. The presence of God used to only be at Jerusalem, and used to only be in the tabernacle during the time of Moses, and now it's in us. Okay. So we're talking about growing up and individually and collectively growing into a temple of God. Let me just say one thing. In Revelation 21:3, this is at the end of all things, time. It says the holy city is going to come down, New Jerusalem. And what it says is God is going to tabernacle with men. And it says he will dwell with them. That's what all of this is building to. So when it says that we are the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, we're living something now that will be in reality, in fullness then. We get a taste right now of what that is. And so this growing up into that is growing up into what will exist forever. And that is God tabernacling with men. Uses the same word as Moses' tabernacle. Having everything to do with the presence of God with us. So how do I know I'm growing up? We're going to make it more practical now. But how do I know I'm growing up? So how we know we're growing up is we have to use, it's vital to use the right measuring instrument to know if I'm growing, right? So here's a measuring tape, right? See, look at me. You might think I'm 5'9", but look at this. All right, anyway. Okay, so here we have a picture here. We all had these growth charts growing up, and man, it was so exciting when you saw progress. Okay, honest question. How many of you raised your heels a little, you know, in that process? Straightened up a little bit, wore your tall shoes. Okay, I did, right? I mean, I don't know what I was trying to accomplish. I mean, it didn't change reality, but it just felt good, right? Sometimes deception feels good, but it's not good. But you know, speaking of cheating, you know, there's other measuring instruments like scales, right? At home, we had two scales. There was one scale that was a lot more favorable. If I was discouraged, if it was a kind of a bummer week, I'd use that one. Just made me feel better. I mean, I don't know if any of you are like that, but sometimes I need it. But then there's sometimes I just want to know reality. I just want to know where I'm at. Then I do that real one, that one that's tells me the way it is. Okay, all right. But what's the correct measure for Christians? What is it? What is the correct measure for us? It says we're to in this scripture that we read that the measure is the stature of the fullness of Christ, right? So what is this measure for Christians? It is the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what does that mean? Well, for me in daily life, I just summarize it with two things. Two things that help me a lot and that show me when I'm off and when I'm not of God and when my spirit's not of God. And it confronts me and it corrects me and brings me back. One is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit and I'm growing to be more like Him, right? I'm growing. He's working in me to will and to do of His good pleasure, and I'm becoming more and more like Him, then I should be becoming more and more like Him. That must mean the fruit of His Holy Spirit should be what's growing in my life and what's manifest. That fruit of the Holy Spirit, things like love. Sometimes I don't feel like I love anybody. And I get confronted by God. And I have to go and be alone. Otherwise, I might hurt somebody. Not physically, I'm not big enough for that, but you know, with words or something, and I have to get my heart right. And He brings me back and reminds me of who I am. I'm the temple of God, and He lives in me. So love and joy. I know when I'm not joyful. So does everybody else. I might think they don't know, but they do. So love, joy, and peace. Oh my goodness gracious, heavenly days. Thank you, Lord. More heavenly days, please. All right. Love, joy, peace, patience. Okay, that's one. Patience. That gets me. Patience. You know, a manifestation of impatience is frustration. Ah, that person up there driving slow, or this person over here not giving me what I want. I want it now. Patience. 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 Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I know when I'm not kind. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Lord, let your fruit be growing in all of our lives and in your church, and not just here, but in your church universal, that others might see that there's a different way. Guess what? Whenever the Bible talks about principalities and powers and rulers and authorities, you know what their job is? Their job is to bring division. They want to divide. They want to create hatred and division and animosity and all of that. You know what God wants? He wants to unify with fruit like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. All of that, if you think about it, brings unity. All of that causes us, all those are elements that feed unity. The other measure I use is the extreme forgiveness of Jesus. I see that extreme forgiveness, I see it on the cross. I see it on the cross when Jesus is hanging up there. He had just been brutally, unfairly, unjustly arrested, mocked, beaten. He's on the cross going through unbelievable torture. He's the creator of the people that are doing it to Him. It's both Jews and Gentiles doing it to Him. And He's up there and He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When I think of that, any problem I have with anybody is dwarfed in that context. And that says, Weaver, you have everything you need in Him to get right there in your heart and in action. We have no excuse, really. So I just go to the extreme, and then that, you know, that accommodates everything. And I can adjust my heart then. And I need my heart adjusted. Because life's messy, right? And the church and the body of Christ is made up of people. Think about that. Variables, the great variable in life. People, humans. Or us. Yeah, you think about all those difficult people out there, but in reality, they're thinking about this difficult person here, right? So, you know, anyway, you get it, right? You know, so maturity itself is another way we know we're growing up. It says in Ephesians 4:13, mature manhood. Manhood is humanhood. It's men and women. It's not just men. It's not a gender thing. It's just speaking of humankind. Mature. Maturity here is the word telios. Telios means complete or perfect, brought to its end, finished. When it's full grown, this is what we're after. You know, and whenever we're speaking, we talk about, so what's the telios of your message? When you're done and it's over, what do you want people to live with, leave with and live with, hopefully. So what do you want people to leave with? What do you want? What's the takeaway? And that's what we say. We call it the telios. It's maturity. When your message is mature and done, hopefully soon, then that's what we're talking about. The thing about immaturity is it's focused on me. It's mine. You know that. You see that. I have the privilege. My grandchildren are just visiting for a moment. They're living with us for 6 weeks and their parents. It's awesome. Oh, man, it's awesome. I just love it. And I get to see some immaturity, but they put up with me, so it's okay. But immaturity deals with me. It's mine. I want it now. And just in honor of that, I went to McDonald's yesterday. Because I wanted it now. I was hungry. Anyway, maturity is also, so that's immaturity is focused on me, but maturity is others focused, right? Yours. It's patient. I see this actually in my oldest grandchild, Nellie. I see Nellie. I've seen her since she was born, right? She gave her first smile in my arms. It was awesome. But anyway, now she's six. She's a big six-year-old. And Nellie, I see her taking care and helping Grandpa with the younger ones. She goes, Grandpa, I think what Noah needs is this. She's thinking of Noah. And she even knows what Noah needs. That's maturing. She has that at six. That's good. That's part of the maturing process, is being others-oriented. And the other thing that maturity brings, though, is it brings a capacity on our part, and we certainly need this today, to evaluate various forms of teaching out there, to accept what is true and reject what is false. Amen. We have a lot of people trying to teach us a lot of things, and a lot of things coming into public education. I praise God for Pullman Christian School. There's a lot of things coming in, and they're teaching falsehoods. Amen. Deceiving schemes, and it's wrong. That's why we study the Bible. Another thing that mature people can do is they can help immature people, they can help them grow up by speaking the truth in love, because they've lived some life. The other thing they can do is remind young people that everything's going to be okay. It's one of the most helpful things an old person can say to a young person. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to make it. Because God knows we made it. And if we're here, you can get here. And we needed a lot of help along the way. So the Bible, it's confusing sometimes. To be a child or not to be a child. You know, in this portion of scripture today, it says to not be like children. Well, I thought we were supposed to be like children. So what's up? Yeah, so to be like a child or not be like a child. So I just want to clarify, we all know the difference, right, between childlike and childish, and that's one way to distinguish. The idea that as we mature and grow up, we become more childlike, so we're maturing and growing up and becoming more childlike. That's one of those flip-flop natures of the kingdom of God. It's hard to get our mind around sometimes, but it's important to engage our mind on that. So as we grow up, we become more childlike. I love it. So let's look at that. What are some qualities, a couple qualities of childlikeness? One is utter dependency. Children are dependent for food, clothing, shelter, care, nurture, and change my poopy diaper, please. You know, we hear that a lot in our home nowadays. But all those needs are provided by parents. It's like Jake is so funny, my son Jake, he's hilarious. But he talks about Phoebe, you know, and Phoebe's there and says, take care of me. Or I'll cry, and I'll make your life miserable. So meet my needs, every one of them, right? She's completely dependent. She can't do it herself. She can't, you know, make her food. She can't provide her own clothing and shelter. She needs help doing all of those things. So utter dependency, and that's how we are with God. We're utterly dependent on Him, more than we know. And if we're wise and mature, will realize that and live that and cling to him. Another one is, I love this, it's kind of a new revelation, and that is that a child has an expectancy to be loved and accepted. Happened to me this morning. Gus and Nellie, they got up and they come out, and Noah does it too. They come out and they go, look at me. Aren't you happy to see me, Grandpa? You know, and they're speaking the truth to me because guess what? Grandpa is excited to see them. And I pick them up and we hug and we hold. They expect to be loved. They expect to be accepted. How are we in our relationship with our Father God? Do we expect to be loved? Is that our expectancy? Or do we go, oh, he's going to just squish me at any moment? That's not our Father God. No. Matter of fact, it says in Ephesians 5:1, it says, and this is right after Ephesians 4 that we're talking about today. Ephesians 5 says, first verse says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. As beloved children means that that word beloved children is a promise. It's a truth statement. You didn't do anything to become that. You are that. It ties in even with the word, this is my son in whom I, this is my beloved son. At Jesus' baptism, the Father says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Same word, beloved. As beloved children, because I'm a beloved child, now I imitate God. We all focus on, I got to imitate God in order to be loved. No, I am a loved child. I am beloved, matter of fact. Beloved. You looking at me? You're looking at beloved. And then I imitate him. Look at this picture. Children love to imitate their dad. I thought of Tyrell and Paul. Look at that. Paul loves to imitate his dad. You know, I think of the children imitating their father. I think of this. Look at that. Isn't that great? Oh my gosh. Paul loves to get involved. He's done that from a very young age. Praise God. But so too often we focus on the imperative or the command of imitate and not the promise first. We got to get the promise down first. Okay, another thing that that is childlike is they're not experts at evil. Not experts at evil. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. So you want to be mature in your thinking. But it says, be infants in evil. Not very good at it. Don't be very good at evil. Be lousy at evil. Don't be an expert at evil. Eve wanted to have the knowledge of good and evil. And ever since then, mankind has wanted to get really good at evil. Don't be good at evil. Be really bad at it. Get really good at imitating him. Because that's who you are, a child of your Father God, made in his image. That's your destiny. That's who you are. Okay, results of growing up. A result of growing up is that so we may no longer be children. Again, we're not going to be children here. Because we're going to be taught, if we're just little tiny people, we're going to be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Notice these are cunning, crafty, deceitful schemes that you may not see coming. So basically what the scripture is saying is if you grow up and if you can brace yourself with truth, you won't be jerked around like this video here. Whack. Poor guy. Okay. That's probably enough. Thank you. But you can stand strong and you have that ability to resist that. And also, you know when to wisely reroute to avoid dangerous territory ahead. My daughter-in-law and my two sons, my oldest and my youngest son, Joe and Josh, we climbed Mount Adams and we faced these intense winds, kind of like that. And we were 600 feet from the top. But we had to choose to not go to the top because the top of Mount Hood is very narrow. And we could have been blown off our step. We were being blown off our step. Here we are descending, having made the choice to reroute. And sometimes in life, we need to see the danger ahead and reroute in order to avoid the deceitful schemes and the damage that can come. Okay, so I'm just going to state this. Last one, that we need each other to grow up. We need each other. It says that in verse 15 of Ephesians 4. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And this is where we need each other, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And this just becomes something that happens. And we're all built together by that which all of us are supplying. And we all have a part to play. And it builds us together and it grows the body of Christ. And God is glorified. And we get to enjoy the process. Being attached to the wrong thing, though, you know, instead of attached to each other, being attached to the wrong thing is called bondage. We want to be attached to each other as the body of Christ and growing up in Him. So, there are two groups of people in the church. There's those that can help and those that need help. And guess what? We're all a part of both groups. We all have a part to play to help, and we all need help. Two groups of people. Small groups are a great place to have those needs met because you get to know each other. You get to know how you can help, and there's people to go to get help. You can sign up for small groups back at our guest services table back there. Just go back there. Sign up for something. The important thing is just to get started. Just get started in this growth process. Get connected. Another way to connect as we grow up together is through things like Bible Foundations. It starts next week. Bible Foundations 2 and 3 start next week. And Bible Foundations 1, if you've never taken it before, it'll start on the 29th. You can start out back there on that. It's a year-long class. It'll help you grow. Yeah. Yeah. And Carpenter Series will start after Big Weekend. So look forward to that too. It'll start in a few weeks. But let's grow up together in Christ. We know what our destiny is. Let's grow up and pursue it together, experiencing wonderful fruit of His Holy Spirit dwelling in us. God bless you all.